Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. A tale of love turns into a tale of relentless obsession in You. Lifetime's new Sunday night saga. Best-selling author Carolyn Kempness joins me next in an internet radio exclusive. Sorry for Your Loss, starring Elizabeth Olsen, captures the various ways a woman deals with and moves forward from the death of her husband. Facebook Watch begins this drama next Tuesday, and we'll catch up with creator and executive producer Kip Steinkellner and showrunner Lizzie Weiss later this hour. Also ahead, the latest on Hurricane Florence, our classic trivia question, and why is Apple so silent about Apple TV? Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker, and presented on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. Great to have you with us this Friday afternoon for the program All About Television. 74 degrees at the top of the hour. And first of all, thoughts and prayers with everybody who are dealing with Hurricane Florence. We'll have the latest details on that situation in a few moments. But anyway, we're delighted to have you with us. Some great people coming your way over the next hour and change. And we invite you, as always, to be part of the program. All it takes, a phone call from you. So pick up the phone, raise your voice, and use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number's good anyway. You're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker. We also have our chat room open if you'd like to use that. It's SimonApple04 by name. You can find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised, and it's just waiting for you. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk screen. Follow the instructions, and other people can be live with you. Before we get to our guests, here is the latest on Hurricane Florence. It is still a Category 1 hurricane with winds of 75 to 80 miles per hour and gusts going to 100 miles per hour or more. Right now, it is moving west and south at 6 miles per hour. It is not expected to turn from south to west and go inland until late tonight, early Saturday morning, right now at the latest. That's according to the National Weather Center and the National Hurricane Center. A couple of statistics for you. Already in this situation, more than 600,000 people in North Carolina alone are now without power. There have already been 200 people rescued alone in the town of New Bern, North Carolina. And there are 120 to 150 more people that are right now, as we speak, awaiting rescue. There are 12,000 people, by the way, who are in over 100 shelters statewide in North Carolina. The storm surge, by the way, is expected to rise at least 10 to 11 feet at various times for the next few days. And we should point out that as of midday today, there is already 20 inches of rain on the ground in many parts of North and South Carolina. And incidentally, if you know people who are in Southern Virginia, below Norfolk, Newport News, Chesapeake Bay, Virginia Beach, etc., they are not out of the woods. They may, before this weekend is out, get anywhere from 5 to 10 or more inches of rain, and there could be flooding possible. So those of you who know people in that area, please let them know. If they can get to higher ground, they still have a shot to do it. Those are the people in northeast Georgia. We'll update the situation if we can and pass on any details to you. In the meantime, please keep your thoughts and prayers for all those folks dealing with this incredible hurricane that is incredibly wide and incredibly powerful and is not moving that far up or down the North Carolina coast. Hopefully, by the end of this weekend, the worst will be over. Let's keep the thoughts and prayers for that. We do have one news note quickie for you before we get to our first guest. Game of Thrones writer and co-executive producer Byron Cogman has landed a program development agreement with Amazon. He is already at work on several series concepts. By the way, he was writing one of the Game of Thrones prequel or sequel pilots that HBO is considering. We don't know, because of his new deal with Amazon, what the fate of that situation will be. And that's our news note quickie for today. Here's our first question for our first half hour. How far would someone go to fall in love and to have that love happen? How far? Well, there's a new TV series that started on Lifetime this past Sunday night at 10 p.m. specific time that explores that situation dramatically. It's called You. It's from the prolific executive producer Greg Berlanti. It's based on a best-selling novel. And joining us live from Los Angeles is the novelist behind You, Carolyn Kempness. Carolyn, thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Simon. Good to be here with you.
And thank you. It's a pleasure to have you with us. So how long did it take to turn your novel into a television series?
Well, let's see. I wrote it in 2013, and I think all the talk started in 2014, 15, so pretty fast for this business, right?
Mm-hmm. For sure. And what have you heard so far from the audience about what people think of the series so far, less than a week after it started on Lifetime?
It has been tremendous. I mean, I have the world's best readers, and I don't say that lightly. Book people are so passionate. They have been so excited for this, and it is thrilling to have them seeing it. And my favorite thing to hear is people saying they've watched it like 4 or 5 times. That is good news.
Well, for people who have not read the book, what is the book about, and how much of the essence of the book got translated into the series?
You know, the book is really a deep dive into the mind of Joe Goldberg, who is a single guy in New York who works in a bookstore. On the surface, is a real romantic bookworm. And we're with him as he meets this girl, Beck, and really becomes obsessed with her, for better or for worse, and works his way into her life. And then, yes, does some, you know, pretty terrible things to make their love happen, and sure. And, you know, the wonderful thing is that so much of it is translated. It feels and looks like the book to me when I watch it, and I've heard that from readers a lot. And that's such a credit to Greg Berlanti, Sarah Gamble, Lee Tolan, Luke Krieger, the entire, everyone behind it has just been really powerful in maintaining this feeling of the book. So that's a real gift.
Mm-hmm. Greg is one of the most prolific producers in television. He does all the DC shows with Warner Brothers for the CW. He has a whole bunch of projects already in the works. He's got, like, what now, 12, 13 series on the air or near on the air. When you first met him, what impressed you about him, and what kind of contribution did he make in terms of developing your characters for television?
Well, I think when I first met him, he's so focused and so caring that it's like, oh, that's how he does it and how he's able to do it. Because when he's talking about this project, he is talking about this project. He has this laser beam focus. And it's the execution, because he doesn't, like, just sit there and say things. Then you see the result of those things. That's what I found throughout this process. Like, it's what every writer wants to hear, that, oh, we love the book. We, you know, we're determined to maintain that feeling. But to constantly see one thing after another, like, just executed with such amazing ability. And he walks into a room, it's almost as if he's, like Sarah Gamble said this about him, he's already seen the complete show, and he's very good at finding those moments that just need to be tweaked slightly. And then there's the casting, of course, which to me is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. And we'll get to that in a moment. But first of all, what was there a particular turning point that got the book to him and also got the book to Warner Brothers, which is making the show through their scripted television vision, and ultimately get it to Lifetime?
The other producers, Alloy Entertainment, got it to Greg, and Greg devoured it, and he gave it to Sarah, and then it just kind of grew from there. So it was a wonderful circus of enthusiasm.
Mm-hmm. In recent years, we've seen a number of novelists get involved with television to some degree. Tom Perata with The Leftovers, where he not only created the show from one of his best-selling novels for HBO, he became an executive producer and a key writer. At AMC, Philip Meyer did The Sun, which ran for 2 seasons, where he was an executive producer. Did you consider what kind of a role you would play in producing or writing you for a Lifetime? Did it go over to mind, like, maybe I should be a full-time executive producer on this, maybe I should just write one episode, maybe I'll write a few, maybe I'll be the story consultant? I'm curious what kind of process you went into your mind in terms of the level of involvement once you got the green light to have you become a series, what kind of involvement you wanted?
That's a really good question, because for me, Victoria Schwab, V.E. Schwab, tweeted something today about how once you write a book, you put it out there, it's not yours anymore. It's everyone else's to interpret, to read. And from the get-go, Greg and Sarah had such a specific vision for the project that I felt like they were the right ones to do it, and they should be at the helm. And it was so wonderful to go in and sit with the writers and write my own episode and work with them in this new medium. So for me, that was like the ideal comfort zone, where I had a good relationship with them and they were absolutely in charge and very sure of what they were doing. And, you know, when you're talking about people who have such great track records and are so good at making television. For me, like, I couldn't be in better hands, and I know that, and I appreciate that.
Carolyn Kipnis, the best-selling author, is our guest this first half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. She's live in Los Angeles, and her series taken from one of her best-selling novels, You, is now running Sunday nights at 10 o'clock Eastern Pacific Time on Lifetime. Executive produced by Greg Bernanti, put together by Hour Entertainment and Associates of Warner Horizon Scripted Television. And if you have a question or comment for Caroline, give us a call this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. It's so simple. Pick up the phone and ring it in, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. We have a 90-day edition of Tomorrow Be Televised coming your way on Monday, and we're kicking it off with a guest that we were supposed to have on last Monday, but we've rescheduled her. From the critically acclaimed series One Strange Rock on National Geographic Channel and the former head of Discovery Channel, it is Jane Root. Her latest project is The Great American Read, which premiered its second season this past Tuesday night on PBS. And then we have back-to-back co-stars of series coming your way from The Purge. The popular new USA series based on the famed movie franchise will have co-star Hannah Anderson. And just confirmed in our final half hour, at the 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, we will have the co-star of the brand new CBS series God Friended Me, Sharad Sharma. That's all coming up, 90 edition Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, exclusively on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. What kind of role did you end up having in putting the series together, Caroline?
Well, I read the scripts, and I got to see the casting process and throw in my two cents here and there. It was, yeah, again, like just the ideal role to be along for the ride and watching it all unfold, and then to write an episode and get to revisit my book in this really fun way in this world that I keep saying like is a lot like different from the book. And to me, they just pair really well together.
Mm-hmm. Talk about the casting. Who plays the main roles and what you thought about their performance?
Penn Badgley plays Joe Goldberg, and Elizabeth Lail plays Guinevere Beck, who just goes by Beck. And the minute I saw them together, I mean, it just works. It's that undefinable chemistry that you pray for that you can't ever guarantee is going to be there. And it's there. I mean, that's something I keep hearing from readers and viewers, too. That's wonderful. And across the board, I mean, everyone is just so into this and so giving it their all in every moment. I feel like it's just a magical constellation of actors.
Mm-hmm. And then you also have John Stamos, who, of course, we all know from Full House and so many other things. He seems to pop up anywhere and everywhere on television, as versatile an actor as it gets. What was it like working with him and some of the other co-stars?
I mean, I tell him, like, everyone calls him Uncle Jesse. I have always been obsessed with the movie The Two Mr. Kissels. So that's my, like, personal reference point when I look at him, what I see. He is great. He is the, like, most down-to-earth, likable person. Everyone in the cast, it's another, like, jackpot situation where they're all really nice, like, present people. And that's just been great to get to know them and then see them bring these characters to life. And I'm in kind of permanent shock, you know?
Yeah. How diverse is the cast as well as the crew? Did you find there were a lot of women who were on the writing staff or directing or on the production team?
Yeah, we've got a lot of women everywhere. There were a lot of women in the writer's room, really, really smart, like, you know, very observant women, and some great men in there too. And we have a lot of women directors as well, which is also really exciting because, you know, it goes without saying that's a good thing to see.
And when you were attending the writer's room or when you were watching the activity on the set, which, by the way, the show is produced in New York, talk about that in a sec, but I noticed that in past shows, when we talked to executive producer creators, that a lot of times people in the writer's room will try to bring their own relationships or if they've had encounters of a similar nature or they've experienced the same thing or something similar, they will bring that to their writing. Was that the case with you?
Oh, God, yes. That's been the case with the book from the beginning. I've heard from so many readers about why they identify with Joe, why they identify with Beck, what they've been through. And the writer's room felt like, for this show particularly, it was real group therapy and so much great storytelling and so many people revealing the, you know, the like being on both sides of it, being the Joe, being the Beck, getting a little obsessed with someone, looking them up and finding out things about them and then not knowing quite what to do with that information. So, yes, it's the kind of show that's very fun to create and talk about because you want everyone to be relating to the material and feeling like, oh, I know I've been there. Not to this extreme, but that they've been there.
What did the material provoke with the actors or with the writers or with the directors about the whole subject of to what lengths people can go to, often sometimes destructive, to profess a love or to find a true love? Because that's the heart of your book, is like the lengths that someone goes to express love, and often those lengths can be stalking, deadly, near horrific.
Yeah, we've had a lot of great conversations about how we define those boundaries and why sometimes things seem romantic and other times they seem creepy. And we always come back to the classic romantic comedies that I grew up on that inspired me to write this book of You've Got Mail, when you see a man in pursuit of a woman, putting her out of business, really like misleading her, pretending to be someone he's not. And it all plays as romantic because it's all very bright and cheery. And we've all seen these stories so many times, and we've seen John Cusack refusing to take no for an answer. And it's great we're at this point in time where we're all kind of sitting back and thinking about those things and what's romantic about them, what's complicated, what's downright scary, and how if you change the music and change the tone, a lot of love stories that we've watched that have instructed us on how to behave in real life and what to want, what to hope for, and how to know that we feel loved, have this dark underside to them. And I think we're all figuring that out as we go forward. And that's what's been so, like, just perfect to be doing this at this particular moment in time.
Mm-hmm. Why was the program produced in New York, and what did New York give in terms of an ambiance to your story?
Oh, God, it cannot be said enough. I mean, for me, New York was another character in the book where I wrote the book when I was living in L.A. and really starting to romanticize New York and think of all those dreamy walks, and I was forgetting about the subway and the smells and all the things that when you live there, you deal with on a daily basis. So for me, New York was a character, and the producers felt that way too. So that was something that they were very, like, determined to do, to shoot in New York, because you just can't mimic, like in the pilot when she's in the subway on the tracks, that the way that that looks, that you can almost smell the screen when you see it, that's why we have to be in New York, as much as for all the romance of just watching people walk around that city where it's so nice to fall in love and be, you know, a part of the life of the city. So I am so happy we were there.
In watching the first episode, I got the sense that even despite the underbelly of the plot, that there was an effort to try to bring some lightness, to try to bring, not ha-ha lightness, but to try to bring some romance, some brightness into the situation, and that New York locations, the style of the cinematography really helped that.
Yes, I agree. I mean, that's something about the book, that every single page you're in Joe's head completely, like in his perspective, in his skin, and the book gives that feeling through the beautiful voiceover that in the script is called Joe's Thoughts. And then in the show, we also get to see Beck in her own life, not through Joe's lens, but just living her life. And that's really, like, that was a really good move for me to kind of make the scene, to transform the setting into from being Joe's head into being New York City and really capturing the thrill of living there and what it's like to have all of this at your disposal every single day. And when you stay out all night and have fun and still have to get your work done, I feel like that's something that's so captured in the, not so much the light sense, but in the reality of it, of seeing what Beck's dealing with on the challenges of wanting to be young and also wanting to be a writer and kind of shut out the world and do that. And I mean her apartment, her beautiful apartment.
Did you ever see the movie Barefoot in the Park back in the 1960s with Jane Fonda and Robert Redford?
Oh, yes, I did.
Because some of the scenes in the first episode reminded me of that, sort of, not exactly goofiness, but that sort of tone of, you know, cockeyed optimism, things are going to work out.
Yes.
Spirit in New York.
I see that so much. I think that's so important because I don't think it would work if you didn't have those moments of happiness and potential to restore your faith and love as you're along on this very dark ride. And that was something I thought about a lot, too, when I was writing. When things are good, they're so good. And there's a specific high that happens in New York when you feel like you found that person and you're doing it all right. That, to me, is makes sense, is very special and unique to that city, the way that it feels there. And I love, in that way, when Harry met Sally, when they have those moments of crystallizing and being the only two people alive. So it makes me happy to hear that.
You is the program we're talking about. It's Lifetime's new drama series produced here in New York by Warner Horizon Scripted Television, part of Warner Brothers in association with A&E Studios and Amalie Entertainment. We've got the best-selling author who made the series happen, Carolyn Kapnis. She's live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. So I'm Matt Van Witte, live from New York. Thank you for being with us. By the way, again, please keep the thoughts and prayers coming for everybody who is dealing right now with Hurricane Florence. We'll have more details about the shape of the hurricane at this point at the top of the hour. And in the meantime, if you'd like to give Carolyn a call, please do so at 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Next Friday on Tomorrow Be Televised, we're going to kick it off with a very unusual segment. Back in the day, we're talking about the 1950s, science fiction was live. Whether it was shows like Space Patrol or Tom Corbett's Space Cadet aimed at the kiddies and the teens, or series for adults like Tales of Tomorrow. By the way, a little factoid, Paul Newman made his first television appearance on an episode of that series. Well, those days, fast forward to 2018, are coming back later this month. There's a brand new program called Orbital Redux that's going to be running for 8 weeks live on a service called Alpha. It's a roaming service from Legendary, the folks behind such blockbuster films as Pacific Rim and TV series like Lost in Space for Netflix and the Emmy-nominated The Looming Tower at Hulu. We will have a special segment with the writer and director of Orbital Redux, Steve Cutto, and we'll also have an executive from Legendary to talk about whether or not smart TV sets and smart devices will be able to catch this series. And one thing about the series you ought to know, not only is it live, but the audience can interact with the characters and maybe even dictate where the plot goes. That's next Friday, special edition of Tomorrow Be Televised Live, Vietnamese News Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio Speaker and the iHeartRadio podcast. And remember, if you come in late on an episode, you want to catch up on episodes you missed, go to the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised, available 24/7 every day. Caroline, have you already started to think about what the series might do in year two?
Ooh, well, I wrote a sequel called Hidden Bodies, and in the story, Joe moves to California and meets someone named Mose, and she has a twin brother, 40, and Lifetime, and awesomely, already ordered a second season, and we will be shooting here in Los Angeles.
Mm. And
yeah.
Will you be taking...
So I feel like that's the best news that you... Sorry?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, I just said that that's, like, the best news in the world that you can hear.
That's great. Congratulations. I think for a lot of people, that's an exclusive. Yay. By the way, with this second season or new series, will you be having more of an active role in terms of writing scripts or being a producer?
You know, we haven't talked about it that much, and I'm good to keep rolling the way we've gone. I'm writing a new book right now, and I'm so thrilled with the work they've done that, I mean, this is their call.
Mm. By the way, with so many producers, so many book writers, novelists like James Patterson, David Baldacci, now having some of their work created or even coming up, have their works adapted for television. I mentioned earlier Tom Perrotta with The Leftovers and Philip Meyer for The Sun, where they have the active role. Has the experience with you given you some ideas about creating a show directly for television?
I am writing a pilot for Warner Brothers, and you never know down the road. But right now, I'm a very obsessive person, and right now I'm writing this book and working on it, so I'm completely sucked into that at the moment. But yeah, I mean, there's so much time ahead. It's exciting to imagine doing different things.
The Warner Brothers pilot you're working on, what kind of pilot is it? What genre, or is it something different from you, or is it along the same line?
It's different from you. It's about a half-hour comedy, a dark comedy about a woman who lives in Los Angeles, and she's also a mom, and in addition to having a job. And this is a lot for her to handle, and it's about how she does it and how she doesn't do it, more importantly.
Well, in the meantime, there is you, and you can catch episode 2 this Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on Lifetime. Check your local listings for where Lifetime is available in your area on cable and satellite. And for more details about the program online, mylifetime.com. That's www.mylifetime.com. You, Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. Carolyn Kepnes, the best-selling author of You, who is also involved with the series. Thank you again for joining us. Congratulations on the launch of the show. Congratulations also on having one of your other novels being adapted for a separate Lifetime series. We'd love to have you back when that happens, and it's been a pleasure to have you aboard.
Simon, thank you so much. And it's so great to talk about You, but also The Leftovers, one of my favorite shows. So this is good.
Mine too. And we had Tom on the show, and he was a marvelous guest. And he's a terrific writer, and I hope he does more for television. He has a lot to give for the medium. He's really sensational.
He's amazing. I agree. Yes.
As are you. Carolyn, thanks so much. Take care. Have a super weekend.
Thank you. You too.
So do. Bye-bye now. Carolyn Kepnes, author of You, joining us live from Los Angeles. More tomorrow show live coming your way, but first some fine words from the people at Audible.com. Stephen King, of course, has been all over the dial the last couple of years, most lately with the acclaimed Castle Rock series for Hulu. And you might not know it, but he's got a very interesting new audiobook that he has co-edited. It's called Flight or Fright. Have you had a very unusual experience on an airplane? How far could that kind of experience go? Well, Mr. King and his co-editor have pulled together some unique tales, some true, maybe some not so true, of flights that go very awry, called Flight or Fright. And you can get that audiobook right now with a trial run at Audible.com. Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and inspiration. There's over 100,000 titles to choose from, not just audiobooks, but original audio productions as well. You can listen to them on any device, including whatever you are hearing us on right now, at Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, or iHeartRadio. All you have to do is sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. That's audibletrial.com/televised. With that, you get one free audio book, 1 month trial of the service, and great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com. Remember, Audible.com is one of the proud development partners of the annual New York Television Festival, which took place this summer here in the Big Apple. So remember, if you want to know how Audible.com can transform the way you hear the world, there's only one way to do it. Sign up for that free trial and free audiobook. Audibletrial.com/televised. That's audibletrial.com/televised. You will be so happy you did. This is Tomorrow Will Be Televised. We are the program All About the Two. We're coming your way Mondays and Fridays, simulcasting live on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker. And remember, coming up on Monday's episode, 90-day edition, we will kick it off with Jane Root, the former Discovery Channel president and the former executive producer of the acclaimed National Geographic Channel series with Will Smith and Darren Aronofsky earlier this year, One Strange Rock, is coming back for a second season next year. She is now executive producer of the second season of The Great American Read, which began this past Tuesday night over most public television stations. And then, two co-stars of shows will join us. First, from USA Network's The Purge, off to the races in great ratings and critical response as well, co-star Hannah Anderson. And just confirmed a short time ago this afternoon, the co-star of the brand new CBS series on Sunday night, God Friended Me, Siraj Sharma. And it's all coming up live this Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. And by the way, if you'd like to know about the world of smart TV sets and smart devices, check out the columns I've been writing lately for Media Village at MediaVillage.com. That's the media announcement commentary site. A lot of great people write on that site, E.V. Moss, Ed Martin, all sorts of great people, and Jack Myers, of course. And you can catch what they say and what they write about at MediaVillage.com. The third column of my series just got published a couple days ago, and I hope you check it out. I'd love to hear what you think about it on the whole world of smart TV sets and smart TV devices become an amazing phenomenon. So don't forget, MediaVillage.com, www.MediaVillage.com. I know you'll enjoy it, and all the great contributors there, they make wonderful, wonderful reading, and that website is available 24/7. Remember, we always love hearing from you, so email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. You'll also find me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter. When we come back, Facebook Watch premieres its latest original scripted show on Tuesday, and it's a stunner. It's a dramedy called Sorry for Your Loss. When we come back, We will have the creator, executive producer, Kit Stein-Kellner, and the Peabody Award-winning showrunner, Lizzie Weiss. Also, our classic trivia question of the week. And coming up later, why did Apple not talk about Apple TV at all this past Wednesday when they had their big showcase event in California? All that's coming your way after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com. More than 25 million listeners around the world every month and growing. And we're also coming your way on Spreaker.com. BTR is your home for captivating conversations. Very neat conversations for radio, and you can catch them every Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk. By the way, Stuart Elliott was the media village person I was talking about, former advertising editor of the New York Times. Love Stuart's been on the show before, along with Ed Martin, Jack Meyer, and other people too. So sorry about that little blank out, Stuart. And happy you're aboard with Media Dose. But anyway, don't forget, Captivating Conversations, that's Wednesday, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, only on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, best BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to Marvin Televised on this Friday afternoon, September 2018. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. Delighted you're with us, whether you're joining us live, simulcasting on Blog Talk Radio or Spreaker. And also, we're coming your way on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. A pair of guests coming your way this half hour, and we invite you to get involved. All you have to do, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. One of the hot topics that is happening in recent television series is grief and how people deal with it. Last Sunday, Showtime premiered an acclaimed new series called Kidding, starring Jim Carrey as a Mr. Rogers character who on the inside is dealing with grief. Earlier today, Hulu premiered The First, its new series about the first mission to Mars, starring Sean Penn and written by Bo Roman of House of Cards fame. And believe it or not, that first episode, which I had the chance to see last night at Samsung Showcase venue here in New York, also deals with grief. Well, this Tuesday night, Facebook Watch, in its latest original scripted series, also deals in dramedy form with grief. It's called Sorry for Your Loss. It stars Elizabeth Olsen, who also is one of the executive producers. And joining us live from Los Angeles are two of the other key people involved with the program. First up, she was one of the writers on the acclaimed Amazon series, See the Beginning of Everything. It's a pleasure to open this program for the first time, Kit Stein-Kellner. Kit, welcome in.
Thanks for having me.
It is a pleasure, Kit. And joining both of us is somebody who has been in this program before. She is a groundbreaking writer-producer. Her series, Switched at Birth, had a great run on ABC Family, and it is still the only series on ABC Family or Freeform its successor to win the coveted Peabody Award. It's a pleasure to welcome back the showrunner of Sorry for Your Loss, Lizzie Weiss. Lizzie, welcome back in.
Thanks. Great to be here again.
It is a pleasure to have you back, Lizzie. And Kim, we'll start with you. Before we get into your specific show, I'm curious why you think we are now seeing so many shows like yours and Kidding and the first episode of The First all dealing with the subject of grief.
Yeah, it's interesting. I wrote this script about 5 years ago, and it's been a process of about 4.5 years getting it to the air. And I think at that moment in time, even though I was writing about something incredibly universal. Everybody experiences loss and grief at some point in their lives. There was, I think, from a lot of producers who really responded to the script and loved the script, of the question of is a subject people can handle and take, and would people be ready for this? So it's been interesting watching the television landscape change in the last several years. I think the zeitgeist has risen up to meet us, and I think people are really hungry for this conversation, and so I'm glad we're finally at a place where, you know, the show found the right home, and on several shows now, we're really dealing with this conversation that needs to be had and the subject matter that needs to be talked about.
And what's important, Kit, about that conversation? In reading some stuff about the series that your publications people sent me this morning, I was really struck by the fact that you and Lizzie want to treat this subject in a way that is both uplifting and natural, that this is not, you know, something out of the blue that you deal with at some point in your life. This is something we all go through. This is something that is natural, that is not unexpected. It's going to happen at some point, so why not come to the table in such a way that you can deal with it powerfully?
Yeah, of course. Look, authenticity was our watchword in making this show, and life for me has never been just bleak and depressing, even at my lowest moments. I am always laughing through my tears. There is always, there are always moments of great comedy and romance and mystery, even during real rock bottom moments. So for me, it wasn't just about making it palatable. It was more about making the show feel honest. And for me, reality is faceted, and that's what I wanted to bring to the show.
Lindsay, with all the things that you could do after the great run you had with Twisted Birth, which was a groundbreaking show for the deaf, for the hard of hearing community, and for all of us understanding what that community deals with day to day, how did this project come your way?
I'll tell a story that it feels like this is a story that we found, you know, when Kit and I were putting our team together. Almost everyone who got on board had a story like mine, which is when her script was sent to me, it was like 3 weeks after someone really important to me passed away within 2 weeks of discovering she had cancer. And it felt like that sort of fate experience of this is what I'm supposed to do. And then I, you know, it wasn't just that the script was really like elegant and efficient and beautiful. It was also, you know, so much of a job is the people that you work with. And I met with Kit and our other producer, Robin Schwartz, and the three of us, I think we had like a 3-hour meeting, and that doesn't happen all the time. And you really, you know, when you're a writer, you spend, it's like every job in some ways, but it's also like no other job, and that you sit in a writer's room 8 hours a day. You have to be able to sort of gel with, you know, your partner and feel like emotionally you're on the same page as human beings and then also as, like, writers and your vision for the show. And so I think it was like, both the script and our meeting that made me feel like this doesn't happen every day, and I think we're going to have a great connection, and we did.
And, Lizzie, did you ever think that you would do a show for Facebook? Particularly Facebook. It seems that Facebook Watch in this second year.
I don't think anyone did.
Because this is the This is the third show that we have covered in recent months for Facebook Watch. Third scripted show. We've had 5 points, which is Kerry Washington's program. The creator of that show was on this summer. A few weeks ago, we had Rael Tucker and Scott Leonard, who were doing Sacred Lies, which is a terrific show that premiered a few weeks ago. And now your show. It seems that Facebook Watch is really coming into its own as a place for original, unique, scripted drama, as well as unscripted programming. And secondly, because of smart TV sets and smart devices, they're getting the extra distribution to make it happen. And I'm curious what you think about that, but that you're doing this, you and Kate are doing this.
It feels like we're going to, at some point, look back and not remember when Facebook didn't, because in a way it is so obvious. There is, and in particular for our show, because it is about losing someone, and you know, you do unfortunately use Facebook so often to find out about someone who passed away, and then people express their grief and tell stories and express, you know, love and to the survivors of that person. And so it does feel like, of course, particularly for our show, a very obvious and perfect connection. But just in general, you know, Facebook is a place where, you know, you can connect with people. And so I think, you know, for our show, when there's a catharsis and you're watching it because you are feeling something and you are enjoying feeling something, and then you want to express that to other like-minded people, it's just like one tap away. You're already there, you know, to say to other people who are going through that, hey, I'm feeling this, are you too? So in a way, yes, it was when I first heard that it was for Facebook, I also kind of double-blinked last October. Oh, I didn't know that was a thing now. But now I think they're here to stay, and it's going to feel like they're a player and they're a contender, and they're going to sort of, you know, become one of the top places to get quality shows.
And by the way, how about this for another irony? The former head of ABC Family, Paul Lee, before he became head of ABC Entertainment, he now has a new production company called Whip, and he is doing his first three shows for Facebook Watch, including the new Catherine Zeta-Jones series that will be premiering in November. So how's that for irony?
Well, we all end up working together, you know. It's a very interconnected, small community of Hollywood.
Speaking of that community, Kit, Elizabeth Olsen, who is the star and also an executive producer, how did she get involved with the series? I understand that she was going through something traumatic when this project came her way?
Yeah. Robin Schwartz, who Lizzie mentioned, our non-writing executive producer, was producing at Brillstein at the time, which is both a management company for actors, writers, directors, as well as having a production arm, development and production arm. And so Lizzie Olson is a client of Brillstein, and so that was the straight conduit to getting the script to her. And the minute her name was mentioned, it was like a bolt from the blue. She was so perfect in my head for the role, and even more perfect once I sat down and talked with her. I remember in the meeting, first meeting her and talking to her about the show and the role and realizing I had written this part for her without even realizing I had written this part for her. It was kismet. It was meant to be. And she's been such a fierce champion of the show. And like I mentioned earlier, it's definitely been a journey. The world wasn't quite ready for the show at the time that I wrote it. But I knew it was supposed to be a show, and she knew that it was supposed to be a show and that she was supposed to be a part of it. So she's been, in addition to being a wonderful star, just the most brilliant executive producer and advocate for the show.
You are hearing Gaston Kellner and Lizzie Weiss. They are the creative executive producer and showrunner, respectively, of Facebook Watch's newest original scripted series, Sorry for Your Loss, starring Elizabeth Olsen. It will premiere next Tuesday, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, with several episodes at the same time, all available on Facebook Watch, which you can get if you have a smart TV set or smart TV devices. Most of those sets and devices do carry Facebook Watch in some manner. And our guests are joining us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. If a question or comment for Kit or Lizzie, give us a ring, 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it on our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. 1 week from today, Tomorrow Will Be Televised, live science fiction is coming back for the first time in ages, but with a difference. The audience watching it has an opportunity to dictate what happens. The project is called Orbital Redux. We will have Stephen Calcote. He is the writer-director of the series, which will run for 8 weeks on Alpha. That's the streaming service put together by Legendary Digital Networks Group. Legendary being the company behind such blockbuster films as Pacific Rim and blockbuster television series like Lost in Space for Netflix and the Emmy-nominated miniseries The Looming Tower on Hulu. We'll also have from Legendary, Johnny Wickham. He's one of the top executives at Legendary Digital Networks. And they're both coming your way next Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, exclusively here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Lizzie, once you got going with this project, what kind of a tone were you going for?
Well, you know, as Kate was saying, she created it in the pilot. That's the job of the creator to set out the world and the characters and the tone. And Kit has a little bit of a comedy background, but she can talk about. I took her cue and I think one interesting question is, how we staffed our writing room. And it did feel like, when we were looking, we had so many amazing writers to choose from, but there was sort of a quality of looking for people who either experienced some kind of loss, and it didn't necessarily have to be a loss of a person. We had some people who talked about loss of health or other kinds of loss that had thrown them for a loop, but we wanted people who could really sort of click in to that deep place, in themselves. And so we just, a big part of our job was leading that room and getting our team to, arc out every character's emotional journey after this, one character has died unexpectedly and how it affects every single person in the show in ways that spin them out and, bring out things that they had probably for years pushed down, but that this tragedy kind of pulls back up again.
Mm-hmm. Kit, in reading
Kit, you want to add anything to, the tone, or,
you sum it up so beautifully. Yeah, I remember, Lizzie, when we first met, you saying that a key factor for you for hiring people is they had to be soulful. And I just love that. I never heard that in Hollywood. No one had ever told me they hired people because they were soulful. And that is very much how we staffed our room and how we hired throughout. We looked for people, and I think soulful, but my definition of it is real emotional intelligence, real curiosity, and just a real expansive sense of what it is to be human, both, that real lived experience and also just a real imagination. So, people that have experienced loss and can also really translate that experience to the specifics of our show.
Mm-hmm. Kit, I noticed that some of the episodes deal with a specific incident. The second episode, for example, our lead character, played by Olsen, deals with packing up her husband's belongings. And it sounds like some of these episodes will deal with something, a specific aspect of the process that you have to go through. In this case, knowing that once you pack these belongings in a box, you may never see them again. Or it's like this is your last look at them. And I'm curious how you approach incidents like that in your writing.
Yeah, of course. The time frame of this season of television is it starts 3 months after Lee's husband, Matt, dies, and it concludes around that six-month mark. So it takes place over the course of 3 months. It's a very new, raw time. And the working metaphor we used in the room was it's like she's an astronaut who's crash-landed on another planet, and her task for the course of the season is to extricate herself from the wreckage of the crash landing site and just find a way to crawl, stumble her way over to a nearby crater. Like, that's all she has to do this season is just survive. And so these instances, like you mentioned, episode two, having to go back into this apartment, which she has avoided for the first 3 months of the loss of her husband, are sort of, I see as these stumbling blocks, these things are, there's no way around. So we have to get through, and the only way through it is through it. And so we really thought about, how life does go on, and the sun keeps shining, and the world keeps turning, and the things that are going to come across her path that she's going to have to deal with in this very, very recent aftermath of her husband's loss, of losing her husband.
Lizzie, when you were doing Twisted Birth, and we talked about this, one of the things that made the show stand out for so many people was the fact that you tried some techniques that I'm sure some people may have thought going in, you can't do that. You can't do that on television, like lowering the sound so that we, the audience, could have a sense of what it is like to be deaf or hard of hearing. Themes in sign language, the use of subtitles. Did this series give you an opportunity to do something similar in storytelling or similar in terms of the way you approach the story? And I'm asking that in part because when I saw the episode of The First last night, I was very struck by Angelica Holland, who did the episode. And I think she did a fantastic job directing. She's also a co-executive producer. Did so many scenes which had a sense of lyricism to it, where there wasn't a lot of talking. You saw the action, you saw the music, and the pictures really set the, not just set the scene, they were the scene. You didn't need any words to sort of tell people this is what it's all about. This is what we're all going through.
I think we're living in a time, everyone always says it's the golden age, and I think that frees writers in so many ways that, we're not just dealing with the four quadrant main three networks where you're trying to, hit certain five acts and certain commercial marks and have to, sell soap and, appeal to everybody. We're really allowed as writers just to do what feels right for that particular show. And to do a half-hour dramedy, first of all, the fact that it's half-hour is kind of special. You might expect it to be, there's either, traditionally there's always been one-hour dramas and half-hour comedies, and the worlds are always split. And we're certainly not the first to do it, but we're excited to be in a time where now we can do half-hour dramedies. And, Kit was talking about, right, episode two was cleaning out the apartment and the things of someone's life. And that's something that I've never seen on TV before. I've never seen an episode of television that just deals with cleaning out and looking through the articles that make up our lives. And that's special to me in the same way that, doing an episode just in sign language is special. And we do have other firsts, later in the season. It's the first. There were so many to choose from. You could do the first anniversary that, the first his birthday, you could do the first Christmas. We had, unfortunately, so many, you know, Rubicons we could have had her cross, and we just had to choose. But it felt special and unique that we could take each episode and let it be what it dictated to us as creators, and not sort of go, oh, we have to do what is normally done on this network. It's just it's a great time to be a writer, basically.
Kit, what kind of direction did you and Lizzie and the writers and directors give Elizabeth over not just how to portray the character, but what kind of latitude in terms of, all right, you know, maybe if there's something that comes to mind you want to improvise about in this particular scene, like the scene where she's going through the mementos, do it. We'll play with it. We'll give it a go. Surprise us.
Yeah, I mean, not only do we adore Lizzie Olson, but we trust her implicitly. So we always try to be very clear in the text, which is the dialogue and the stage directions, what our intention as writers is for any given line, scene, story arc. But she really does have a golden gut. She really does, she's deeply plugged into the character and the world. And so often it is a matter of really letting her, you know, during rehearsal and during those first several takes, find it, explore it. And then if, and she always finds amazing things, but if I, you know, as you know, so much of filmmaking is editing, and so much of editing is having a lot of choices. So she's always brilliant, but if she's really playing in one area with a scene and I just want to have the option of having, let's say, a lighter take or maybe having her play a slightly different intention, I will convene with her and the director and give that thought, and she always takes the ball and runs with it in a really beautiful way.
Lizzie Olson has, you know, she's an incredibly experienced, she's very experienced. She's been, you know, in a lot of films, and so she has a lot of experience. It was also her first time in television, so I think it was exciting for her and also new to spend 10 episodes with one character instead of, you know, a few months doing a two-hour movie. And so that was, I think, it's a very different experience of, you know, living with the character, and as writers, you know, the character changes, but then doesn't change, and then changes, and then doesn't change, and, you know, so that was also, I think, an exciting part of the challenge.
And I think once you see the trailer, you will get that this is a very empowering program. This is not just all sadness. It's not all tears. There's a lot of uplift. There is a lot of empowerment. There's a lot of life does go on, and you really have made more strength than you think to go on with life and fulfill what you want to fulfill in your life. We're talking about Sorry for Your Loss. It's the brand-new Facebook Watch series that premieres Tuesday night, 9:30 to 6 p.m. Facebook Watch available on many smart TV sets as well as smart TV devices, which now two-thirds of all U.S. households have. We've got the creator and executive producer, Kit Stein-Kellner, and Peabody Award-winning director and producer and showrunner, Lizzie Weiss. They're both joining us live in Los Angeles here on Toronto Televised. A few more minutes within this half hour, so get on the phone if you like, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. Kit, what lessons did you learn on Z, your previous series with Amazon, that you brought to this program?
Oh, good question. Well, I love my creators and showrunners over there. Don Prestwich and Nicole Yorkin are legends in the industry and just absolute delights as human beings. And this is something that Lizzie Weiss very much brought to the room too, but just really putting together a brain trust of a room, having it really be a Knights of the Round Table in Camelot where everybody has a voice and everyone can be heard, and just really listening to and utilizing the wonderful brains in your room, that's incredibly important. But I'd say a lot about process I learned in the just the wonderful way they ran the room really helped me in running the show with Lizzie Weiss. Let's see, what else? I would say also just writing wonderful things for actors to play. I think, and I have a theater background as well. I was a playwright first, and so you work so closely with actors, and you do really want every line, every scene, every story to feel like a gift for them. But that was something Dawn and Nicole in writing Christina Ricci, who played Zelda Fitzgerald, and the people that populated her world. They were hyper-focused on just finding the most wonderful moments to give as real gifts to their star. And I think, you know, we also, Sorry for Your Loss is also very much a star vehicle in the way that Z was Christina Ricci's show. This is very much Lizzie Olson's show. And I really wanted to give her as many gifts as I could possibly give her.
Lizzie, both you and Kit worked with a grief counselor as a consultant. What was the experience like with that person? And did that person give you some ideas that may have come out of left field that, that either of you didn't expect?
It was a psychiatrist at UCLA that we used, Dr. Scott Irwin, and he, yes, he was an expert on grief and loss and all other kinds of depression and lots of stuff like that. And he read every script and outline, and we had consultations with him. And he also met with the actors, which was great because then they could sort of one-on-one ask him questions. You know, I guess one of the things that we learned was that there's just such a wide spectrum of the ways in which people express their grief. And, yes, of course, we knew that from our own sort of anecdotal human experience in the room of so many people. But it was also interesting to hear it in more of a clinical, scientific way. And then, of course, for him to sort of show us, you know, sometimes these things are common and do happen more often. And are these things that we can, you know, dramatize in an interesting way. But, yeah, we loved having him, and we felt sort of in safe hands knowing, like, hey, this happens, right? And, you know, I've worked with a lot of different consultants in my life, and you always want someone who understands that, you know, you have to be honest to reality, but you also have to have a little bit of leeway in telling the story, and he was great at that.
Kit, I understand you're also working on, in addition to this show, you're working on another pilot for a series. Can you tell anything about that?
Sure. Yes, it was actually, I wrote it, or I wrote many versions of it, a few versions of it, while we were waiting to start the room for Sorry for Your Loss. So it was mostly done by the time we started writing our show. I'd had a polish left in my contract. But, it's in a memoir called Mad About Men, and I like to think of it as kind of like an edgy Gilmore Girls. It's about a mother-daughter living in contemporary New York City, and the mother is divorced and kind of exploring single life for the first time in a long time and having a lot of sex. And her daughter is also kind of coming into adolescence and figuring out who she is as a teenager and a sexual being. So it's really, and they both, they're both intensely close and kind of each other's soulmates, but also keep a lot of secrets from one another. And it's really fun. It's, I feel like it's in the vein of something like, I don't know, I would say maybe like Sex and the City meets Better Things. There's kind of elements of both those shows, but it's really high octane. It's really fun, and there's a lot of jokes, but it's also a real mother-daughter love story. I've been coming back to it, and I just did my last polish. I think we're getting ready to figure out the producing partners of it all, the packaging of it all. It's just funny because like my brain has been in Sorry for Your Loss for 9 months. I'm just getting my, now that we're about to premiere, I'm kind of getting my brain into a few other projects. I love it. It's fun. We'll see what happens.
The program is Sorry for Your Loss. It's the latest scripted series from Facebook Watch. Again, it's available on most smart TV sets and smart TV devices. And the premiere is this coming Tuesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. I believe 4 episodes will be presented off the bat, and the rest will come on a weekly basis later on. If you want more details about the program online, we're going to give you two places to go. One is Facebook.com, which, by the way, already has more than 25,000 people following Sorry for Your Loss. Add a special homepage for that. You can also go to this website address, videoapp.fb.com. It's videoapp.fb.com. And incidentally, if you are dealing with the loss of someone or something, or you know someone who is, we want to give you a website of an organization that I believe is also involved with the series. It's called caringinfo.org. That's their website address. It's caring, C-A-R-I-N-G, info.org. Check them out. And other organizations, too. A lot of people very happy to help you and your family and friends out. The more that more people get involved with you, the better it is to go through whatever grief you are dealing with. And I hope the series really does make a difference in the lives of many, many people who are dealing with grief, and hopefully they see it in a whole different way because of it. Kit Santel, the creator, executive producer, Lizzie White, the showrunner, thank you both for being aboard. Kit, congratulations for getting the show off the ground. Lizzie, thank you for coming back into television. Love Switches for us. Happy you're back. I hope this show is a wonderful run, and who knows, maybe some Emmys and Peabody's next year.
Thanks so much, Simon. It's great.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Take care.
Okay, Lizzie. Take care. Have a super weekend. Good luck with the premiere on Tuesday.
Thanks.
Thank you so much. Bye.
Kit Steinkellner and Lizzie Weiss from Sorry for Your Loss joining us live from Los Angeles. Incidentally, if you want to catch up with our interviews that we did with the creators of 5 Points and Sacred Lives more recently here on Tawabi Televised, both Facebook Watch scripted series, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. When we come back, our classic trivia question of the week, and I'll pose this question. Why did Apple TV basically have a slap in the face for people who love Apple? I mean, why did Apple put a slap in the face on all those Apple TV followers and lovers and developers? I'll have some thoughts about that as we pause at the top of the hour for web identification. It's www.blogtalkradio.com, where there's 25 million listeners around the world every month and growing. We're also coming your way simulcasting on Spreaker.com. And we're also presented to you on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Don't forget, VTR is your home for Music Friday Live. Check it out tonight, right here, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, that's VTR available 24/7. At YouTube.com. Welcome back to Marvy Televised. Well, if you're just joining us at the top of the hour, Simon Appbaum with you live from New York. We will have an update on the situation with Hurricane Florence shortly. And we have a commentary as well coming your way. And if you'd like to comment about that, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And since it is around the top of the hour, let us, if you joined us, just joined us, let's give you the latest on Hurricane Florence, which is causing a lot of havoc in North and South Carolina. Right now, according to the latest information from the National Weather Center and the National Hurricane Center, the winds are 75 to 80 miles per hour. It's gusting to 100 miles per hour or more. It is moving west and south at 6 miles per hour, still down the North Carolina coast. It's supposed to make the turn inland sometime tomorrow morning, tomorrow afternoon. Already, more than 600,000 people in North Carolina alone are without power. In the town of Newburgh, North Carolina, one of the few first places to get the storm, 200 people have already been rescued. There are about 120, 150 people that are at this moment awaiting rescue in some manner. And there are already more than 12,000 people who are in over 100 shelters throughout North Carolina. The storm surge is 10 to 11 feet. It's expected to be that way at high tide or other times over the course of today, tonight, tomorrow, maybe even Sunday, and already there are spots in North Carolina with over 20 inches of rain on the ground, a lot of flooding happening. And again, for those of you that either are or know people who are in Southern Virginia, near the border of Virginia, North Carolina, below Norfolk, Virginia Beach, Newport News, that area, you are not out of the woods. There's a possibility of anywhere from like 5 to over 10 inches of rain between now and Sunday, and there could be some flooding and maybe even tornadoes that pop up. So, and that also goes, by the way, too, for the northeastern section of Georgia. So stay tuned to your local radio and TV stations, the Weather Channel, AccuWeather, Weather Nation, etc., for the latest information. And please, if you need to go to higher ground, please do. Keep the thoughts and prayers coming all over the country for these folks and for the first responders who are doing a marvelous job with those rescues in New Bern and other parts of North Carolina. They're doing a magnificent job along with local and federal authorities. And, of course, we here at Blog Talk Radio and Speaker and iHeartRadio send our very, very best to everyone who's involved in that situation, everyone impacted. We will all get through this together. And if you can, stay in touch with Blog Talk Radio and Speaker. We'll keep you company. I'm sure many of our hosts will give you updates as time goes on. Before we get to our commentary, time for our classic trivia question of the week. We're still looking for our second weekly winner in a row. And if you are first with the correct answer, you can get Developing Your Own Psychic Powers. It's the 6 CD set by John Edward of Crossing Over Fame. The question, as we told you on Monday, it's a tribute to Burt Reynolds, as this. Name the TV movie that gave birth to Burt Reynolds' series Dan August on ABC in 1970. Name the TV movie that gave birth to Burt Reynolds' television series Dan August in 1970. That was his last TV series before he did Deliverance and all the other movies that made him a superstar in the 70s and the 80s. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where you're emailing from, full name and address. If you're first with the correct answer, again, you will win Developing Your Own Psychic Power, 6-CD set from John Edwards. And if you missed the question a moment ago, don't worry, I will post it throughout the weekend on Facebook and on Twitter at my handle at UBCSimonTWBT. That's UBCSimonTWBT. Remember, in order to win, you got to be in. Let's get our second weekly win in a row, shall we? And it could be you. But remember, you got to take the action to make it happen. So do that. And all the very, very best. And now, a comment. This past Wednesday, Apple had its latest product showcase at its superb headquarters, SpaceCamp Life, in Cupertino, California. It turned out to be a twofer. Most of the time, it was on the new iPhones and about half an hour on the Apple Watch. But here's what didn't get showcased at that event, and it should have, and that is the latest with Apple TV. It was 3 years ago that Tim Cook, the head of Apple, said the future of TV is apps, and he made it very clear through demonstration showcasing why Apple TV was that future. Well, here we are several years later, and now we're at a point, and it's not just what happened Wednesday, but in the last 2 years, where at events like this, very little, and in this case, nothing, was said about Apple TV. Not one word. And that, to me, comes off as a slap in the face at the millions of people in the United States and around the world that use Apple TV, not to mention the developer community, which is trying to make Apple TV go and grow. And here's my thought for Apple. Why? Why in goodness' name can't you say anything about a product that supposedly you're behind? And why can't you say it at a time when two-thirds of all U.S. households at least have a smart set or device, including one of yours, and you are now seeing Siri and Google Assistant and Alexa and Bixby and Cortana and other artificial intelligence voice systems that allow people to control the set with their voice built into the television set, built into Apple TV, built into Amazon Fire TV, etc. Doesn't that sound dopey? You tell me that there's nothing in what's going on with Apple TV you can showcase when you have more than 10,000 apps, including the ability to order pizza through Papa John's, to order any Amazon product you want, to see all sorts of new programming, not to mention the fact that you're very close to launching, early next year, a whole wave of new television series. How are you supposed to have credibility for this when you can't even talk about Apple TV? It is stunning. It is absolutely stunning to me, folks. This is in my world. It is absolutely stunning to me that nobody in Apple management, in marketing, in public relations, in press relations, looks at a presentation like this and says, go ahead, don't say anything about Apple TV. Go ahead, don't say anything about Siri being put in Apple TV so that people can control the set with their voice. And what that could ensue, like the possibility of interactive television services, the possibility of interactive merchandising, the possibility of interactive ordering of products and services. And like I said, this is just the latest example in public of Apple just not giving a darn. And it's time, frankly, for this attitude to stop and transform. So, Apple, I have a challenge for you. A request in the form of a challenge. Come here to New York and do a half day or full day event at one of your Apple stores, get the press together, get Apple TV developers together, and let's see what's new and coming from Apple TV. Put Tim Cook or somebody of consequence in management here in New York, get everybody together, and let's see what's going on. And while we're at it, let's also start to have a public discussion of the new shows you're putting together. That could very well be on Apple TV. Let's hear about the Oprah Winfrey deal. Let's hear about what Damien Chazelle is going to do. Let's hear about the new version of Foundation that just got approved and greenlighted. Let's hear about the new lineup of Apple TV programs. And let's come out with press releases, by the way, about them. Did you know that if you go to Apple's website, you cannot find a single word about Apple's lineup of new TV series that they've already greenlighted and are already in production, except for one small release about the Oprah Winfrey deal? Come on, Apple. Your money where the mouth is. Put your belief where the mouth is. Show up here and let's see Apple TV in action. Because right now, what's coming over, especially with what happened Wednesday, is you don't care. It's your product, folks. And if you want people to use your product, it's high time that you show them and us what it can do and where it's going to go and what the developers have in store. Do you believe the future of TV is apps? I totally get it. I agree, 100%. Now, how about showing it? Walk the talk. Not just walk the walk, walk and talk together. And do it right here in New York City in Apple Store. Love to see you do it before the end of the year. It would be really marvelous. And if you can't do that, I'll give you the next best thing. Do another event in Cupertino just on Apple TV for 2 hours. You can do it. You got the developers. You got the apps. Do it. And one more thing. It really was amazing to me that all of the apps that you showed on the new Apple Watch and on the iPhone, they could very easily be adapted for Apple TV. Why not talk about that as well? And what do you think out there? Especially, I'd love to hear from the Apple TV fans out there. What do you think? Were you upset that Apple didn't say a darn thing on Wednesday? Love to hear from you. What do you think Apple ought to do? And are you excited about Apple's new lineup of TV shows? I'll tell you what, I am. And I'd love to see them talk more about it rather than hide in the closet. So I throw that out at you, folks. What do you have to say? Love to hear from you. Email me, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. It's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Whether you agree with me, disagree with me, love to hear. I really appreciate your feedback. Or also find me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter as well. Really would. Again, I want to thank all of our guests for a wonderful hour plus here on Tomorrow We Televise this Friday, talking once again about Caroline Kepnes, the author of You. Remember, that series is on Sunday night, 10 o'clock Eastern Pacific Time on Lifetime. And Kit Stein, Keller, and Lizzie Weiss, creator, executive producer, and showrunner, respectively, of the new Facebook Watch series, Sorry for Your Loss, starring and executive produced by Elizabeth Olsen, begins again this Tuesday night, 9:30 Pacific Time, 6 Pacific, on Facebook Watch, which you can get on many smart TV sets and smart TV devices. We have a big week coming your way on Tomorrow We Televise. We kick it off with a 90-minute show on Monday. Coming your way first, Jane Root, the executive producer of the second season of the new PBS, of the PBS series, The Great American Read. Then two co-stars will join us back-to-back from USA Network's The Purge, Hannah Anderson, and from the new CBS series, God Friended Me, which premieres on September 30th, Sunday night in prime time, co-star Suraj Sharma. Then we will talk about live science fiction coming back for the first time on television in eons. We're talking about the new series Orbital Redux from Legendary Entertainment. We've got writer director Steve Cocado, and we will have from Legendary executive Johnny Wickham. That's Johnny Wickham and Steve Cocado joining us live right here next Friday, 3:30 Eastern Pacific, on Tomorrow We Televise. And if you want to see what we're talking about in terms of live science fiction in the 50s, check out YouTube, because they've got a growing number of episodes already done live, no second take, no retake, of Space Patrol, Tom Corbett, Space Cadet, Rocky Jones, Space Ranger, other shows, and the anthology series, Tales of Tomorrow. All of that will be 24/7. I'm really looking forward to talking about Orbital Redux. And they have a very exciting show they want to do, where in this case, the audience has the opportunity to dictate the way the characters go, and more importantly, the way the action and the plots go as well. So that will be our first subject this coming Friday. I hope you will join us for it and chime in with your thoughts, both by the phone and by the chat room. If you came in late on today's program, you want to catch up on episodes you missed, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. Don't forget to check out the podcast version of the program. You will find it at iTunes, Apple TV, and the podcast app. on Spreaker, and we're also available, as always, on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. If you go to that latter website, put your Tomorrow Be Televised in the search bar, click it, and then you'll get all of our episodes. You can also go to the Entertainment category at the top of the screen, and you'll also get our episodes that way, too. Love to hear what you think about the subject matter today. Very interesting. You dealing with romance and obsession, and sorry for your loss, dealing with grief and dealing with it powerfully. Love to hear from you. So email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's how you get involved in our classic trivia question of the week. And it's also how you get involved in a regular feature we do called The Show to Know. Is there a TV show you like that deserves more attention? Let me know, and we'll give it to you, and you get the credit for it. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com with your Show to Know suggestions. You can also find me on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter at UBCSimonTWBT. That's UBCSimonTWBT. And once again, if you are dealing with grief or know someone who does, give them this website and have them check in with them. It's caringinfo.org. That's caringinfo.org. Counselors on duty, ready to help you and people you know and their loved ones. Remember, we love communicating with you. I always send my email within 24 hours. We love to hear your thoughts about where TV is at, where it's going. That's what this show is all about. Why? Because what you say matters, and it matters 24/7. And once again, our thoughts and prayers here at Blog Talk Radio and Speaker and I Radio go to everybody who is dealing to some degree with what is going on with Hurricane Florence. Please keep those thoughts and prayers coming. To the first responders, we love what you're doing. Thank you for the work you're doing. To all the local, state, federal authorities that are on the ground right now helping people out, getting them rescued, keep up the great work. Stay safe, whatever you're doing, and we'll all get through this. We really, really will. And once again, what you say matters. And remember, stay in touch with Blog Talk Radio and Speaker. I know some of our hosts will certainly keep you updated on what's going on through the day, the night, and through the weekend. And again, we will all get through this. I promise you that we will. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants, not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio. Our production associate is Candace Williams. Annie Toe is Blog Talk Radio's general manager, with Jay Sonberg, executive content producer. The co-founders of Blog Talk Radio are Alan Levy and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow Be Televised was brought to you today by Audible.com and Amazon Company. Remember, Audible will transform the way you hear the world. For a free audiobook and 1 month trial, audibletrial.com/televised. For Tomorrow Be Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a wonderful weekend ahead wherever you are. We'll be back here on Monday, 90-minute edition, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. And remember, whatever you are up to this weekend, please, more than ever, make it safe and make it great. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.